thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Going to read this whole psalm tonight, Psalm of David. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble." His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, "God has forgotten." He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. The Lord is keen forever and ever. The nations will perish from the land, from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man, who is of the earth, may terrify no more. Is that not an amazing psalm? We look at these pictures. Most of us instantly recognize them as photos of Auschwitz, the most famous and widely visited site of the Holocaust during the Second World War. On its museum page, its online page, it states that Auschwitz is the most recognizable symbol and place of genocide in the world. We know that during that dreadful period in history, not very far away history either, approximately 6 million Jews and others were slaughtered in concentration camps such as this. The site also states that many politicians and state leaders come to pay tribute to the victims of the Nazis in Auschwitz. Here's what it says. They deem it to be their moral responsibility to visit this place, one of the greatest warnings for humanity. From 1945, 44 million people have visited the museum in Auschwitz, now about 1 million people a year. Majority of the visitors are young people, mainly on educational visits. Now, I know from working in schools are very keen to teach about the horrors of the Holocaust. It starts in late primary school, continues into secondary. It's obviously included in the history curriculum. It's generally included in the English curriculum. It's very often included in the religious education curriculum. The emphasis is on educating young people about the dangers of a nation being brainwashed into believing that some people are not truly human, therefore they're not worthy of life, and they can just be disposed of without any conscience. The old adage is repeated, we must never allow this to happen again. The truth is, it is happening again. It's happening right now on a scale that honestly makes the Holocaust look like child's play. Every year, between 40 and 50 million babies are being purposely killed, forcibly taken, removed from their mothers' wombs throughout this world. And more people are being brainwashed into believing these little unborn babies, they're not truly human. They're not worthy of life. This horror has just taken one step closer to us here. When last weekend, Ireland voted overwhelmingly to repeal their ban on abortion. You will have seen the placards on the news. The North is next. Make no mistake about it. The campaign to drag Northern Ireland into this genocide, because that's what it is, of the unborn will reach new levels in the coming day. Now, over this past week, I've been thinking over a sermon I preached at the end of April last year on Psalms 11 and 12. Key verses I looked at were Psalm 12 verse 8. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. How true. David Robertson, a Free Church minister in Scotland in Dundee, He writes a blog, The Wee Flea. It's a very good Christian blog. He said, if you wouldn't have known, if you just arrived in Ireland last weekend, you might have thought Ireland had become the richest country in the world, or Ireland had gained some great accolade. People out celebrating on the streets in their tens of thousands, cracking open bottles of champagne. But what were they celebrating? They were celebrating that babies can be dragged from their mother's wombs. God have mercy on us. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. Psalm 11 verse 3 asks the question, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The outcome of that referendum last weekend caused me to return to these Psalms. I'm sure none of us are under any illusions about the implications that vote had for our province. We have already seen political leaders and very vocal pressure groups trying to push for us to come into line with Ireland and indeed the rest of the UK. But for me, one of the most devastating moments came when I read the comments by the Irish Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar. He used language that sounded almost biblical, and yet complete opposition to God. Here's what he said. He said, the referendum result marked the day Ireland stepped out from under the last of our shadows and into the light. To call the opening of the door for the legalizing of abortion, the deliberate killing of babies in the womb, to call that stepping out of the shadows and into the light is a statement that demonstrates the utter depravity in the hearts and minds of men and women. He also said, everyone deserves a second chance. He said, this is Ireland's second chance to treat everyone equally and with compassion and respect. Today, I believe, he went on, we have voted for the next generation. The burden of shame is gone. He is wrong, absolutely wrong. The burden of shame is not gone. It has increased a thousandfold. If you can even imagine that the killing of the innocent in the womb does not bring an intolerable burden of shame, it's because your conscience is seared and your heart is hard. To state that you have voted for the next generation when you're actively killing the next generation is such a contradiction in terms. It seems unbelievable that any thinking, compassionate person could make such a statement. This whole referendum was centered around the rights of women, the right to decide about what happens to their own body. Much of the debate was about women being allowed to choose, but no consideration about the baby, as yet without a voice. Where's the compassion for the baby? Where's the compassion? Where's the second chance for the baby? Where's the equality for the baby? God, in his wisdom, gave woman the amazing privilege of being able to conceive a baby, to carry it in her womb for 9 months. He gave woman an instinct and a nature to protect and care for and nurture that growing baby in the womb, and then to give birth and to continue to love and protect that child in every way. What has happened in our world to women to cause them to abandon their God-given privilege and responsibility? I said in my introduction this morning in my sermon, we live in times when many people say, I believe that God exists, but it makes absolutely no difference to their lives. They don't believe in a God who takes any active interest in what's happening in the world. They don't believe that they are answerable to him for any of their actions. Practical atheism. This is demonstrated in Psalm 10. Verse 4 that we read, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Verse 11, he says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. Verse 13, why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? Because people are listening to the God of this age. The God of this age whose only aim, Jesus said, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Minds, the minds of young and old alike, are being poisoned and brainwashed by the God of this age who have rejected the truth of the Word of God. Listen to what God says about us. And about every child conceived. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Not a clump of cells, not a nothing, not a non-human. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139, you'll recognize. If you look at Psalm 10, you'll see how it describes so accurately what's happening in our times. The arrogance of humanity is actually astounding. Mere mortals ourselves, and yet some have decided, verse 2, that they have the authority to hunt down the weak who are caught in the scheme he devises. I see, as I look at that, thinking about that and thinking about abortion, I see a double interpretation right there. Women and girls get pregnant, sometimes an unplanned pregnancy, and it throws them into a crisis. But now, instead of dealing with the crisis, vulnerable women and girls are often steamrollered, and I mean steamrollered, into having an abortion because they're not offered any viable alternative. They're not told there's another option. They're emotional and they're vulnerable and they're just steamrollered. This is the answer to your crisis. There are others, of course, who get pregnant. In fact, many time and time again, and quite simply decide it's not convenient. Not convenient to have a baby. Maybe it will derail a career path, destabilize a relationship, cause a financial strain, bring shame to a family, interfere with a holiday, disrupt your education, or generally inconvenience life. And the scheme that arrogant mortals have devised is called abortion. To get rid of the inconvenience of the new life that's growing in the womb. David says in verse 3, he boasts of the craving of his heart. As I said this morning, we're not just sinners because we sin. Because of the wrong things we do, we are sinners because we're born with a sinful nature. Our hearts crave after things to satisfy our sinful nature. And in our times, sexual cravings and every perversion of the wonderful gift that God has given to be used within the boundaries of one man and one woman to bring pleasure, intimacy, increase the bond of love in a marriage relationship, that very gift of God has become a god to so many. It is the idol they're bowing down to. We see increasingly vocal expression of so-called sexual freedom, but it's actually confusion. People openly boast of their sexual exploits and their freedom, and yet they refuse to acknowledge responsibility for the little lives they are creating in the chaos. Just yesterday, it was reported that the amendment to the laws in the Republic of Ireland will have to take account of men who become pregnant. Does that not show you how far we have fallen? Verse 7 states that his mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. Again, we understand from what's been happening over the border that this campaign to legalize abortion and all other perversion, this is what it's about. It's about defying the laws of the Lord. It is about sneering at those who raise the alarm, sneering at them. It's about shaking a fist at heaven. It's about saying, God has covered his face. God doesn't see. He won't call me to account. Let's not forget those who over the years have been fed these lives. As I said, many young girls and women have been pressurized into abortion and they've lived to regret it and they've suffered. If that's you, if that's somebody you know, I want to tell you, it is not an unforgivable sin to have had an abortion. It is not. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take all our sin. Every sin that is repented of and confessed will be forgiven. God looks with compassion on the children of men. But still, folks, it is still the responsibility of the church to stand up and to speak out for those without a voice. You'll see what this is all about. It's about murdering the innocent, verse 8. It's about catching the helpless and dragging them off in his net. So what are we to do? Should we just sit back passively and say nothing? That's what many Christians are doing. Should we just shake our heads and complain about the moral disintegration that's happening on our doorstep? Should we take a fatalistic approach? Met somebody yesterday who definitely had this, and say, well, it's only going to get worse. It's in the Bible, things are going to get worse. There's nothing we can do to stop it. There's nothing we can do to stop it happening here in the north. Should we bury our heads in the sand and never speak about these dark and uncomfortable issues? I don't believe that. Verse 12 onwards in Psalm 10 is the key. As the church of Jesus Christ, we have a moral and a spiritual responsibility to stand up for what is right, to raise our voice and proclaim the word of the Lord in the midst of this dark and crooked and perverse generation. But the most important thing we can do, and it's what David did here, is to call on the Lord to intervene. Psalm 10, verse 12. Arise, Lord! Lift up your hand, O God! Do not forget the helpless. God doesn't forget the helpless. God does see. The wicked think that God will not call them to account. They have no room for God in their thoughts. They revile God. But God is not covering his face. His eyes see every act that takes place in secret. And not only does he see, but David says in verse 14, he considers it to take it in hand. David remembers the judgment that is coming on the wicked. He says here, break their arm, break the arm of the wicked and evil man. He says that the nations will fall before the Lord. They will be called to account and judged by God for their wickedness. Peter reminded the people of his generation. He said, look back to the flood of Noah. Look back. Many thought nothing's going to happen, and the flood came and God destroyed the earth in a flood. He judged the wicked. And he said, as it happened in the days of Noah, it's going to happen again. It may seem to be delayed, but it hasn't been cancelled. I kept thinking this week about, well, I had to look up where it was because I didn't actually know, but a little verse in Genesis, a sort of an obscure little verse. God is making a promise to Abraham that his descendants, but he didn't actually have any yet, are going to go through a time of suffering for 400 years. It was obviously in the land of Egypt, but his descendants weren't even born. And then God said he was going to restore them to the promised land. Listen to this verse, Genesis 15, verse 16. God said, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Jesus also used this language when he spoke to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who rejected him, and they caused others to reject him. He said in Matthew 23, 32, fill up then the measure of your sin of your forefathers. In our own times, we must never take a fatalistic approach, just like, say, sin's just engulfing our nation and we just can't do anything about it. We must not do that. We must not allow ourselves to become despondent and feel that we are powerless to do anything. Very possibly, the sins of our generation have not reached their full measure. And that point is the point at which God will step in to judge the world. But that should not stop us from praying that God would arise. Friends, we need to pray that God would arise and that he would strengthen us as his church to be bold and courageous, to intensify our praying, praying for the protection of our nation, for the unborn, praying and sharing the truth of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. This is still the day of grace. The enemy has blinded the minds of unbelievers, but the Holy Spirit is still in the business of opening blinded eyes. Jesus is still calling people to himself, friends. He's still calling out in grace. Let's not just be people who are always, no, 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 no. It's not no about everything. It's yes, Lord. Jesus is the hope for our nation. And how are they going to know it? They're going to know it when we cry out to God to arise. When we cry to God that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we go out and we share the truth. Share the living gospel of Jesus, that he saves sinners. He saves sinners. He died on the cross. And honestly, when you think 50 million babies abort every year in our world, I can't even comprehend that. Jesus died on that cross. And he took the sin and filth of the world, the corruption and perversion of mankind, he took it on himself. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Let us go out with the message of the gospel of Jesus ringing from our lips. I was speaking to somebody this week who say they just felt they could never tell anybody. And they told somebody. They felt they couldn't share the gospel. And they did it. You don't need to be an expert. You don't need to be anything apart from one thing. Available. Available. May God touch us. May God touch us. May God touch our nation. This little province of Ulster. May God have mercy on us. May the church arise and put our armor on and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. We know, Lord, that you do not forget the helpless. You do not. Sometimes we forget the helpless. Those without a voice in the womb. Lord, our heart breaks. Our heart breaks, Lord, over this island and what has just been voted into being. God, have mercy. Have mercy. Revive your church, Lord. Revive your church. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. Help us to believe that. Help us to believe, Lord, that even in these very dark times, when it almost seems as if everything goes and there doesn't seem to be an ounce of shame, when there seems, Lord, to be seared consciences in every leader, Lord, we look to you and we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Lord, maybe we're fearful to stand up and speak out. We're fearful for the repercussions, maybe in our own lives, in our jobs, in our families. But, oh God, I pray that you would strengthen us. Embolden us, Lord. Embolden us to stand up and be counted. To believe, Lord God, that we are created in your image. that we truly are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in our mother's womb. Oh Lord, your purposes are beyond finding out. And I pray, Lord God, that you would use your church in this land to pray, Lord, that abortion will never be legalized in the north of Ireland. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you strengthen us to pray and intercede for the unborn lives, Lord. And oh God, that even politicians who know you would have the strength, the moral and spiritual strength to stand up and be counted. I pray, Lord, for preachers in this land that they wouldn't back off from these issues that are right at the forefront in our society. Help us not to back off. Help us to step up and speak up. Oh God, we are praying that within your church, Lord, there would be a revival of the Word of God, a revival of intercessory prayer. Oh God, strengthen us. Oh Lord, we look to you. You are the Lord. Lord, your day of judgment is sure. But oh God, we would much rather see, Lord, this time of grace. We would much rather see grace abound, Lord. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.